Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Trinity Baptist Temple Church Sermons Podcast. At Trinity, we're not just a building. We're a church that teaches the truth, provides fun and safe ministries for our kids and youth, develops relationships by connecting in weekly small groups, hosts loving community events, and more. We love sincerely, connect deeply, and reach sacrificially. Today's sermon will be led by our youth pastor, Jeffrey Holt.
Well, good morning. Morning. And if you have your Bible, you can turn back to Daniel chapter 2. We were there last Sunday morning, and we'll be back there again. And last week, we were looking at a message entitled, Ready When God Calls. And I kind of started out last week's message talking about those opportunities, when we've told God something like this: God, I want to be used by you. And then somewhere in that, God showed up, and he called, and he's like, hey, here's an opportunity. He gave us maybe a direction, and maybe we didn't answer it. Maybe we didn't dive right into it, or maybe we put it off for one reason or another. And so last week, we saw some very specific things that we need to be doing. We need to be coming together and praying for one another and lifting one another up and again, encouraging one another as God is calling us. But this week, I want to look at something very specific, because sometimes we do ask God to give us something, show us where we need to be used, and then God answers. And God makes it clear. He makes it very pointed. This is something that I have for you. And so what do we do? What do we do when God answers? When God shows up and gives us the answer and says, here's the direction you need to go. And so this week, the title of the message is Ready When God Answers. And so I do want to pray, and I want to be ready for whatever God's going to bring us here this morning, and ready for His Word. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you again in Jesus' name. God, we thank you and praise you for this morning, Lord. Thank you for the songs. The song service this morning about, I don't know, it seemed like all three of the first songs were about praise, and we're going to see that here in our first point, just being ready to worship you even before the work begins, even right as that answer comes, just ready to praise you and give you all that you deserve. And I pray that we are doing that this morning, and we're thankful and grateful for who you are and what you've done and what you're doing and what's to come, God. And we do pray. The God of heaven this morning, Lord. We're thankful and grateful for all that you do for us. And God, I ask that you would make us ready. As we're here this morning and we have an opportunity to slow down for a few moments, to dive into your word, I pray that you would prepare our hearts. Prepare us for what we're about to receive. Make us ready for what we're going to glean from your word, and that we would take those things and apply them to our lives, Lord. Bless this morning. Bless this time in your word in a tremendous way, God. Help the Spirit to move here this morning and on our hearts and impress upon us what we should do in response to your word. We love you, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Daniel chapter 2, last week we read up through verse 18. This week we're going to pick up in verse 19. Daniel chapter 2, starting in verse 19. We're going to read verses 19 through 28. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. If you remember from last week, Daniel just found out some horrific news. He found out that he was about to die, that his limbs were about to be cut off, and not just him, but his three buddies and all the others who were the leaders, the rulers in this area, the sorcerers, the magicians, and these wise men that God had brought out of Jerusalem. Daniel was about to lose his life. And he came to his friends and said, here's what we need to do. We need to pray together. God is calling us to do something great, but we need to call on the compassion of God to work and move. And so Daniel and his friends, they call on him through that night. And then the mystery is revealed to Daniel here in verse 19. And Daniel's response, then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Verse 20, Daniel goes on to say, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever. For wisdom and power belong to him. It is He who changes the times and the epochs, who removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to men of understanding. It is He who reveals the profound and the hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells in Him. To You, O God of my fathers, I will give thanks and praise, for You have given me wisdom and power. Even now You have made known to me what we requested of You, for You have made known to us the king's matter. Therefore, Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. And he went and he spoke to him as follows: "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me into the king's presence, and I will declare the interpretation to the king." Then Arioch hurried and brought Daniel into the king's presence and sought to him as follows: "I have found a man among the exiles of Judah who can make the interpretation known to the king." The king said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Are you able to make known to me which dream, which I have, what I have seen in its interpretation?" And Daniel answered before the king, and he said, "As for the mystery about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, conjurers, magicians, nor diviners are able to declare it to the king. However, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and He has made known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days. This was your dream and the visions in your mind while you were on your bed. However, there is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven who can declare these things to you." Listen, when we get this answer, like Daniel got this answer, we have to be ready to respond like Daniel responded. The big idea here is being used by God doesn't end when God answers the prayers. God, well, I want to be used by You, and I'm seeking You. I'm desperately seeking. And God points something out to us. He makes it abundantly clear, and He shows us which direction to go. He answers the prayer that we've been praying, the declaration that we've been making unto Him, that God, we want to be used. He calls us. He answers us. And so that doesn't mean we stop. At that moment, that's when we move. That's when it begins. That's when God's people respond. That's when God's people respond by praising Him like we did this morning. Depending on His wisdom, as Daniel talked about there in his beautiful poem, if you will, pointing others to Him when he went to Arioch, when he went before the king, and he pointed them to only God who could do this. No magician, no sorcerer, no wise man. Only God could do this. And then he gave God all the glory. Again, you remember last week in verses 1 through 18, the king demanded the impossible. He wanted these wise men. He wanted these magicians. He wanted these sorcerers to interpret a dream that he didn't even give to them. He didn't even tell them what the dream was. And they were like, "King, what are you doing? How are we going to do this? No one has ever asked for anything like this." And then eventually it was brought before Daniel's ears, and Daniel didn't panic. He didn't panic at all. As a matter of fact, his response was exactly what our response needs to be when we receive news, when we receive things coming into our lives. His response was accurate and correct and true. He prayed. He gathered his friends together and they prayed. He trusted God before he even knew what God was going to do. And we arrive here in verse 19, and then God answers the prayer. But it's crazy when you read the story here. It's like the actual answer that God gave to Daniel. He told Daniel the exact interpretation, but that answer is almost overshadowed. I would say it is overshadowed by Daniel's response. I think a lot of us in this room are good at asking for things. God, if you'll just fix this. if you'll just take care of this issue, if you'll just bless my health, if you'll pour out what we need financially, if you'll do these things, and I wonder if those of us that are really good at asking things, if we're just as good, or maybe even better, or maybe even more faithful at praising Him after God answers those prayers. Again, I've done a lot of confessing here lately, and I'll confess again. I know there's times where God has showed up and answered prayers in my life, and I just moved right along. I didn't take the time to celebrate. I didn't take the time to rejoice. I didn't take the time to praise Him like I should. Sometimes we're so excited about the blessing, and it is truly a blessing from God when we see Him work and move and pour it out, that we forget the blesser. We forget the one who's pouring out the blessing. Sometimes we become so focused on the opportunity that we neglect worship. I think Daniel is teaching us something very, very important this morning. Before we ever run into the king's palace, before we ever step foot in the king's palace, we must bow ourselves before the throne of heaven and worship God for answering our call, answering our prayer, answering our pleas. So point number one this morning, when God answers, praise Him first. When God answers, praise Him first. Again, back in our text, Daniel chapter 2, verse 19, then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven, and Daniel said, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever. Daniel could have received that mystery and immediately went in and woke up his friends, Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah. He could have went and immediately ran to the king's door, but that's not the response we see. Once Daniel's prayer was answered, once God revealed it to him, he didn't wake anybody up. He didn't do anything. It seems that he declared how great God was, that he began praising His name. Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to Him. It's Him, it's God, it's Him who changes the times and the epochs or the seasons. He removes kings, He establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge and understanding. It is He who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with Him. To You, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise. And again, shame on me, shame on us. When God shows up and He answers those prayers and we don't give Him thanks, we don't give Him praise like He deserves, we run on to the next thing. We run on to doing whatever task it is. And it's Him who's given us wisdom. It's Him who's given the power. Even now You have made known to me what we requested of You, for You have made known to us the king's matter. Listen, Daniel didn't go wake everybody up. He didn't wake everybody up and was like, hey guys, we've been praying and God revealed something to me, and guess what? I figured it out. I got it. I got the answer. I figured it out. He doesn't start planning some speech or some big epilogue that He's going to pour out before the king and before Arya. He doesn't congratulate himself. No, he worships. Daniel falls down and worships. His first instinct was praise. And I believe Daniel teaches us several truths here this morning. And the first one that I want to talk about is God deserves praise because He answers prayers. It was a few weeks ago, we had our July 3rd event, and praise God, God kept us all safe, and it was a great night, and the gospel went forth to about 800 people there that night, and it was just blessed by God. And we came in here, and we told God thank you, and we had a staff meeting, and we kind of talked about it a moment. We debriefed about it a little bit. But as I met with the staff last week, I said, you know what? We didn't do a very good job at celebrating God. We didn't do a very good job at celebrating the blessing and the answered prayer that God had poured out. And so I was talking to Angela and Scott, who are over. I said, we need to set up a celebration. We need to celebrate what God's done. We need to praise Him for what He's doing. God deserves praise when He answers prayers. And God answered prayers that night, and we need to praise Him. In Psalm chapter 50 and verse 15, it says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I shall rescue you. Listen to God's word here. And you will honor me. You will honor me. This should be our response, that we have to honor Him, that we have to praise Him. When He shows up and He answers and we call upon Him in the day of trouble and He rescues us, I will honor Him. It's not an option. It's not a question. It's not anything that's up for debate. We will honor Him. Prayers should always lead to praise. If our requests are many, if that's what we seem to be falling into a lot when we go before God, we're just requesting thing after thing after thing. Our requests seem to be large, our requests seem to be many, but our thanksgiving is small, something's wrong. Something's off. And we need to get a right balance in our prayer life and the way that we worship God. The second thing that I think we see Daniel kind of pointing out here is as he responds to God through praise. Once God answers the prayer, Daniel praised God before the miracle even became public, before anyone else knew. No one else knew what was going on. The king didn't know. Babylon didn't know. Daniel worshiped anyways. He was just praising God. Private worship. Private worship should precede our public ministry, our public worship. Listen, I don't know how many of you woke up this morning and maybe even before your feet hit the floor, you were like, God, thank you for another day. Praise you, God. Praise you for the God of heaven for giving me breath in my lungs and allowing me to have my family and my home and the blessings that you pour out on me. And again, we don't always do that, but this private worship needs to precede us making our way inside this place. We need to be prepared before we even walk through those doors. We need to be ready. Listen, I'm not naive because I know sometimes Sunday mornings don't go very well. I don't know. You're almost about to walk out of the door and then the coffee spills all over your shirt. Cat throws up and it's just a mess. I don't know. Whatever else could go wrong. Usually involves some sort of bickering with the children, their grandchildren. Wife's upset. Left your dirty socks on the floor again. Whatever it is. I don't know. Those of you that are single, you don't have a wife to nag you about dirty socks on the floor. It's a blessing. Thrive in that singleness. Leave those dirty socks all over, wherever you want. But before we enter into this door, we need to be ready. This private worship, us preparing ourselves and praising God and thanking Him for another day, thanking Him for another opportunity, it precedes this public ministry. It precedes us coming together. It must precede it, not just here, but other places as well. God, thank you for my job. I might not have the best coworkers, but praise the Lord, I have work, I have wages, I have wealth that you're pouring on me, you're allowing me to steward. God, thank you and praise you for my family. Thank you and praise you for my school, whatever it might be. Our private worship must precede us going out into public. And Daniel puts that on full display. The next thing we see is Daniel praise God's character more than his gift. Yes, God poured out the answer. God answered Daniel's prayer. But he praises God's character more than any of that. In verses 20 and 22, we're not going to read it again, but he praised him for wisdom. Three separate times he praises God for wisdom. He praised him for his power, God's power, and he praised him for his sovereignty. God, you know the times and the seasons and the epochs. God, you have all that in your control. He praised him for his sovereignty. He praised him for his knowledge and even the wisdom and knowledge that he poured out on himself, on Daniel. God poured out on Daniel. And he praised God for his authority. He doesn't simply thank God for saving his life. God, thank you for saving my life. Because you've given me this answer, now I have an opportunity that I might be able to live. He doesn't just thank God for saving his life. He praises God for who he is and what he's done. That is mature worship. In Psalm chapter 103, if you have your Bible, you can turn over there. We're going to read the whole thing. I think it's worthy of reading this morning, this psalm of praise, this psalm of pouring out who God is and praising God for who he is. In Psalm 103, starting in verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your path from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies you with years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. And when the wind passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer, but the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting to those who fear him, and his righteousness to the children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all your works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Do you imagine a child going to their parents, and the only time they ever talked to their parents was something like this? Hey, Dad, can I have a few bucks? And hey, Mom, can I borrow some money? That's the only time they spoke to you. And some of you might be like, well, that's kind of my life right now. That's kind of where I'm living. That's kind of what's happening with my grandchildren. It seems like they only talk to me when they want something. It seems like the kids, and listen, as kids get older, there, I believe, are those seasons that they go through where it seems like they just want to go, and do. And that's what it seems like. But could you imagine if that was the only words they ever spoke to you? Dad, can I have some more money? Dad, I want to go here. Dad, I want to do this. And there's no other meaningful conversation. There's nothing else that takes place. How heartbreaking of a relationship would that be with your children? And this, the question is, how often do we do that exact same thing with our Heavenly Father? Listen, God wants us, his children, to delight in him, to rejoice in him, to praise him, to pour out our worship and adoration for him, to pour out our thanksgiving for him, to truly delight in him and not merely his gifts. who he is and what he's done and what he has to come. Let's praise him for that when those answers come. And even when they don't, even when we don't think we get the answers that we want, whatever it might be. Point number two this morning, continue depending on God's wisdom. Again, I mentioned that Daniel mentions wisdom in here a few different times, and I want to read it again. It says in verse 21, it's he who changes the times and the epochs, who removes kings and establishes them. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It's he who reveals profound and hidden things, who knows what is in darkness and light dwells within him. To you, O God of my fathers, I will give thanks and praise. You have given me wisdom and power. Even now, you have made known to me what was requested. You have made known to us the king's matter. If you notice Daniel's emphasis here, he is praising God for what he's done, for who he is and how he is wise and how nothing is hidden from him. And it's only through him that Daniel has this wisdom. God's the one who gives the wisdom. He tells us over and over to ask for it. We'll read the verse again that we read last Sunday night here in just a moment in James chapter 1. But God is the one who gives the wisdom. God is the one who pours it out in our lives. God's the one who revealed the mystery. And he's the one who still reveals the mystery today. God knows what's hidden. And Daniel never starts going before his friends like, you're not going to believe me. I figured it all out. Like, I'm suddenly brilliant. Like, I've suddenly figured out this dream that's never been told to me. He knows exactly, Daniel knows exactly where the wisdom comes from. In James chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, but if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to you. So I said it last week and I'll say it again. I don't know what everyone's going through. I don't know what all you're dealing with in your life. But if you need wisdom, if I need wisdom, if our church needs wisdom, this is something we must be praying for. This is something that we must be asking for, because God knows. God has the wisdom and he will pour it out if we ask. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Acknowledge him. God, it's not about me. It's not about my wisdom. It's not about my ways. It's not about the thoughts that I have, God. I'm acknowledging you. I'm acknowledging you, and I'm understanding that it's only through you that I must lean on. And then he will direct our paths. Isaiah chapter 55 is amazing scripture here that we know. And once we get into it, you'll see, you know this scripture. But it's absolutely amazing that God would point this out to us as a reminder for us. Verse 8 in Isaiah 55, verse 8, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Amen. I'm so thankful and grateful that God's thoughts are not my thoughts. Nor are your ways my ways, declare the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, and so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Is that Daniel had every reason to become confident. God had given him exactly what he needed to live and also to save his friend's life and possibly the life of these other men that were around him. He had every reason to become confident in his own self and what God had revealed to him, but instead he became more dependent on God. His words were like, God, thank you for your wisdom, for your knowledge, for your truth, for the fact that you understand things that are hidden. Instead, he became more dependent on God once the mystery was revealed. I'm reading a book right now. It's entitled Necessary Endings, but it's a book that has a few scriptures in it, but it's more of a kind of a business book, a leadership book. But essentially, the man says this, and he there's a line from the book, and I want to read it to you. It's this. Success often becomes a greater test than suffering. Many people depend on God in hardship. Few continue depending on Him after their success. And listen, I wholeheartedly agree with the first line. The last line, I'm not sure about. He doesn't have any metrics to prove that few continue depending on their success. I don't know if that's 100% accurate. But the first line there, success often becomes a greater test than suffering. Daniel was put in a place where success was about to come, where success was imminent in his life. And he could have taken the praise. He could have received it for himself. He could have poured out this idea that he came up with it. He could have ran into the king's court and said, "King, look at what I've done." I believe the Bible declares too many times that we must be careful. We must be careful with the blessing that God's given and not allow it to become selfishness in our lives, not allow it to become pride that's rooted up in us and built up in us. Too many times does God's word warn us against what happens when successes and riches and different things come our lives. Success often becomes a greater test than the suffering, but Daniel handled it well. We must do the same. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus had sent the disciples away to go across the sea there and the Sea of Galilee, and he said, I'll catch up with you. I'm going to go away and I'm going to pray for a little while, but I'll meet you on the other side. And so these disciples, they're out and they're rowing and a storm arises and they're trying to make it to shore. And here's where it picks up in verse 26. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they're in the middle of this storm, and they see Jesus walking on the sea, and they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." And then Peter said to him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come out to you on the water." And he said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water and came toward Jesus. I think there's times when these storms come, when conflicts arise, when God's even answering prayers, and he answered Peter. He said, "Come." He gave him a very clear answer. He said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come, and I will come." And he said, "Come." He made it clear. He answered him, and Peter got out of the boat, and he walked on water and came towards Jesus. And again, we read this story, and it would be a tremendous story, but all of a sudden it takes this turn, and something happens. Peter removes his focus off of God. Verse 30, "But seeing the wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.'" Interesting verse. He saw the wind, first of all. That's interesting. But he saw what was going on around him. He took his eyes off of Christ. And again, Daniel, in this moment, he could have done that. And again, us, once God answers the call and gives us these answers in our lives of what direction to go, it's real easy to start becoming puffed up or our eyes focused on something else. And we begin to sink just like Peter. And Peter took his eyes off of him. He saw the wind. He became frightened. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." And God answered his call again. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" As Peter was walking on water, and as long as his eyes were focused on Jesus, stayed on Jesus, he stood. He was on top of that water. The moment his confidence shifted, the moment it went somewhere else, the moment his eyes went on to something else, he sank. And I'll say this, our greatest danger isn't the storm and it isn't even the answer. Our greatest danger is believing that for some reason we no longer need Jesus and we're going to depend upon ourselves. It's something that's in me. It's something in my own wisdom, something in my own merits, so one of my own gifts, whatever it is. It's shame on us when we get to that point when we forget that it's all about God and us focusing on Him. Point number three this morning, a lesson we can take away from this story is we need to make God known. We need to make God known. Daniel had every opportunity to take his eyes off of God and turn them on himself, but instead he chose to make God known. Verse picking up in verse 24, therefore Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. And he went and he spoke to him as follows, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me into the king's presence, and I will declare the interpretation to the king. And listen to Arioch's response, man. He hurriedly brought Daniel. I don't think this man wanted to kill all of these guys. I don't think he was fully on board with the king's plan, because it was his job that morning to get up and kill these people. And Daniel said, no, I've got something different we need to do. We've got a different plan we need to enact. And so he hurriedly brought Daniel into the king's presence and spoke to him as follows, I have found a man among the exiles of Judah who can make the interpretation known to the king. Then the king said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen? Daniel said before the king, as for me and the mystery about which the king has inquired, no one can. Verse 28, however, there is a God in heaven who reveals the mystery. Daniel gets done praising God, but he has this praise session, if you will. And then he goes to Arioch. He says, listen, let's go. I've got something I need to share with the king. And for a moment, it almost seems selfish, but we hear the rest of the story. Because Arioch brings Daniel before Nebuchadnezzar. And again, I think that the way the story's going here is that it was Daniel, it was Arioch, it was Nebuchadnezzar, and who else knows? No one else knows who all was in that room except for God. But I believe at least those three were there. And Daniel says, listen, it's not because of any wisdom of any man. It's not because of any wisdom in me. Daniel refuses to put the spotlight on himself. Instead, he points everything and everyone in that room to God alone. He makes God known. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And then you may glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And our purpose, as God answers our calls, as God answers us and pours out what we need to do next, our purpose isn't simply to know God, but it's very clear. It's very clear in God's word that we are to make him known to people, that we are to go out and proclaim his excellency, that we're to go out and let our light shine that they might see our good works and then glorify him who is in heaven. Daniel had an amazing platform. He was brought right before the king. He was brought before the king's leader and ruler there who was commissioned to kill him. And instead of promoting himself and instead of lifting up himself, instead of saying, hey, I've got the answer, my life needs to be spared, my life needs to be saved, instead of doing that, he promoted God. And I'm going to tell you something, that is an amazing example of biblical leadership there. Daniel coming in and saying, I'm going to promote God over myself. As we look, some of God's beautiful creation, one of the things that a lot of times enamors people is the moon. And it's just this beautiful thing when it's shining in the sky. And most of us in this room believe the moon has no light. Some might, I don't know, I'm just going to say, might be a few in this room who believe that the moon has light. Most of us believe, though, that it reflects the sun. This is our job, to reflect Jesus Christ. We don't shine independently. Our job is to reflect Jesus Christ in this world, to make him known. I think point number three and four this morning should really be attached to one another. We need to make him known and we need to give him glory. Give God all the glory. Point number four, give God all the glory. Again, Daniel answered the king, it's not anything that any of us know. Verse 28, however, another translation says, but there is a God in heaven who reveals the mysteries. And he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar that which will take place in latter days. Daniel starts this conversation with the king with probably, perhaps, maybe one of the most humble statements in all of Scripture. I don't know the answer. No wise man knows the answer. No conjurer, no magician, no diviners, none of these people know the answer. None are able. But there is a God in heaven. But there is a God in heaven. Seven words there that change everything. But there is a God in heaven. Yeah, 7 years. Seven words. I counted them. It's seven. But there is a God in heaven. The entire book of Daniel could almost be summarized with these words. Listen, Babylon has power, but there is a God in heaven. Kings make decrees, and kings even made decrees to kill him, but there's a God in heaven. Lions are going to roar, but guess what? There's a God in heaven. Furnaces are going to burn hotter than they've ever burned before, but there is a God in heaven. Empires are going to rise, they're going to fall. Kings are going to come, they're going to go, but there is a God in heaven. Listen, your circumstances may seem impossible, but there's a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31 says, whether then you eat or you drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And Daniel's standing here before the king, and he could have said whatever he wanted. He could have made a statement that lifted up himself and elevated himself. He could have done whatever he wanted, but he said, no, I'm going to promote God, and I'm going to bring the honor and glory to God. In Isaiah chapter 42, God's declaring this to the prophet Isaiah. He says, chapter 42, verse 8, he says, I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to any graven images. God understands that he alone deserves the glory. We too, as his children, must understand that he deserves the glory in everything we do. Do all to the glory of God. Whether we eat, whether we drink, whether we have rest, whether we have sleep, whatever it is, we must do it all to the glory of God. It's only him alone who deserves the glory. I mentioned single people a while ago. Let me talk to you again. Listen, when you date, it's for the glory of God. When you get married, it's for the glory of God. When you have children, it's for the glory of God. Your grandchildren are for the glory of God. Your home is for the glory of God. Your vehicle is for the glory of God. Your wages are for the glory of God. Everything we have must be for the glory of God. And Daniel understood that. His life was on the line. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Psalm 115, verse 1. Not to us, O Lord, not to us. And what a start. What a start to a psalm. Not about me, O Lord, not about me. But to your name give glory, because of your loving kindness, because of your loving truth. The great artist Michelangelo created many masterpieces. People would come to him and praise him for his brilliance. It's reported that he would respond to people like this. He would respond to people and he would say, listen, if you saw anything beautiful in that piece of art, it was because God allowed me to create it. So we don't know 100% if that story is exactly accurate. We don't have a direct quote from him, but that's what many articles and stories and books say. He understood that these gifts that God has given us are loaned to us, and we are to steward them. We must understand that our abilities God gives us, that He wants us to use them for Him. That the opportunities are for the opportunities God gives us in this life to talk to others and bring glory to Him. Those are opportunities that we can pour out grace and love and mercy in people's lives. So what do we do with all of this? Daniel's story and these others who prayed, and God's going to call us, and God's going to answer that call, and God's going to show us which direction we go. How do we apply this to our lives? Well, this morning I want to end with four practical things. First, worship before you work. Before when God shows up and He answers and He gives you that answer, make praise. Make time to praise Him. Praise Him first. The second thing is we need to pray before depending on ourselves. Once God answers that and we say, all right, God, I got this figured out. Now You've given me the answer. I know what direction to go. No, we need to pray before we even get to that point where we say it's about me or my gift or my talent or my ability or my wage, whatever it is. Sometimes we let our successes, as we were talking about earlier, sometimes we let yesterday's victories, if you will, replace today's dependence. You say, what do you mean? Well, maybe last week you had a great week with the kids and you're like, man, yes, I got this now. I've got this parenting thing figured out. And then Monday comes and all the wheels fall off and the house is in disarray. Sometimes we let our victory, sometimes we let our success replace our dependency on God. The third thing we need to do is we need to speak about God naturally. When I say naturally, it's part of our conversation. It's part of who we are. Again, this is what Daniel's life was about. It's what he's been exhibiting for us throughout chapter 1 and chapter 2. And he spoke about God naturally, so much so that he went in before a king that could have ended his life. And he just spoke about God. He made Him known and he gave God glory. Make God and the things of God part of your regular conversation. Every single day, look for opportunities to point those conversations to God. Listen, people are searching. People want to know. People want to know the truth. And we have it, and we must go, and we must share it. I went to lunch earlier this week with my brother Ben, and we went to Wingstop. And I don't know if you've been to Wingstop, but a lot of times I don't know if Wingstop's known for their customer service. I'm just going to say that. Been to Wingstop quite a few times, and usually not good customer service. But we went in there on Tuesday for lunch, and this man just had a smile on his face, and he began taking our order, and he actually even let me sample some things. I was like, what is going on? What is happening? Who is this guy? And why aren't you here every time I come in here? And so we finished our transaction, and he came back over and was checking on us and see if we need anything. And he was about to walk away, and I said, sir, can I ask you something? He said, what's that? I said, well, what is going on? He's like, what do you mean? I go, listen, I've been in here a lot, and you are the nicest Wingstop employee I've ever met in my life. And he's like, oh, well, praise the Lord. He actually said, praise the Lord. And I was like, okay, now I know where this is going. Well, I already knew where it was going, but it was getting there. Anyway, we had a conversation, and we talked about the things of God, and come to find out he is a born-again believer. He knows Jesus Christ, but the point is, everywhere we go, every opportunity we have, just stop and talk to some people, share with some people, share when you have those good experiences. Maybe they're having the opposite. Maybe it's the negative employee at Wingstop. They probably need it too. Yes. Look for opportunities every single day to point our conversations towards Christ. And then the fourth thing, practical application, is we can deflect our praise upward. Deflect our praise upward. And what I mean by that is maybe someone will come to us and compliment us. Maybe someone will come and respond graciously to us. And some of us are better than others at accepting compliments. But in the end, no matter if we're good at accepting compliments or we're not good at accepting compliments, we need to remember who deserves all the glory. That we need to deflect that praise to God. That yes, our light is shining, but it's God who receives the glory and not us. Amen. Do you imagine Daniel about to walk into that king's throne room? Maybe one of the greatest opportunities of his life up until this point. One sentence that he says to the king could either elevate him to greatness and save his life, or one mistake and he could be cut limb from limb, limb to limb. But Daniel had already settled something in that prayer room with his four buddies, or his three buddies, excuse me. The moment wasn't about Daniel. It was specifically about one thing. And he made it known, and he brought glory to him. That moment when Daniel walked into that room, when Daniel walked into that king's throne room, it was about God. I believe that's why Daniel could rush in there with Arioch. Hurriedly, it says they went to the king's court, the king's room, king's chamber, whatever. Hurriedly they went in there. I believe because it was about God, Daniel could stand confidently. He could stand firmly. He could stand without fear before God. Because he'd already bowed before the King of Kings, he was able to stand before this earthly king. Listen, God is still opening doors for us to bring him glory, to praise him, to show our honor to him. God is still opening doors. God is still answering prayers. God is still giving wisdom like he gave to Daniel and these others. God still places his people, us, in strategic places to talk to people. Listen, I don't know what that guy at Wingstop needed, but hopefully he just needed to be encouraged that day, that someone noticed that he was being kind and respectful and loving and all of those things. God still places us in strategic places. He still places our church in strategic places. The question isn't whether God will give us opportunities. The question is, what will we do when he does? Because the opportunities are coming. They are coming all the time. They're coming frequently, and we need to be ready. That's the question is also is, will we seek the recognition or will we seek to give God glory? Will we trust in our own wisdom when those moments come, or will we continue depending on him and his truth and his word? Will we leave people impressed with us, with our knowledge and our biblical know-how, or will we leave people amazed with the Creator God of the universe? I hope and pray that here at Trinity Baptist Temple, when God opens doors, when God blesses ministry here or individual ministries here, when God saves souls in this place or through our people at this church, when God continues to provide faithfully and strengthen this church, that our response is similar to Daniel's. Daniel chapter 2, verse 20, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. When God shows up and he answers and he does these things, I hope our response could be, bless you, God. Thank you, God. All wisdom and power belong to you. And I pray that every success, every answered prayer, every sermon preached, every soul saved, as I mentioned a while ago, every bit of ministry that is accomplished, that it will lead us to say, these are great things, but there's a God in heaven. But there is a God in heaven. And last week, we challenged you to be ready when God calls. And this week, once God shows up and answers that call, don't stop at the blessing of him answering the call. Don't stop because the call has been answered. First, worship. Next, continue to seek wisdom from above. And then make him known and give him all the glory. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. God, we thank you and praise you for this morning. We thank you and praise you for your word and your truth that's in it. God, I do challenge us this morning to purpose in our heart, to praise you, to praise you all the time, but to praise you specifically even when you answer that call. To not let the answer override the praise. I pray that we would be stirred and moved to make you known and to bring you glory in all that we do. I pray that no matter what type of success that the world might say is happening, even inside of our church or outside of our church, but done through our church, I pray that we would say, "Yeah, that's all great, but it's all about Him. There's a God in heaven that's doing the work. There's a God in heaven that's moving. There's a God in heaven that's working." God, I pray that we would be ready to move when these opportunities come our way. You are still strategically placing us in people's lives, and we need to be purposeful in making you known. God bless now as we stand and sing this last chorus here together and come down to this altar and pray. Lord, just have your will and way here in this prayer time. We love you, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to our podcast. If you would like to learn more about Trinity Baptist Temple or join us for our weekly services, visit our website at tbtchurch.org. You can also catch our weekly services live on Facebook and our YouTube channel. We hope to see you again very soon. Bye!